It is 80s night. On the count of three, I want you to think of your favorite 80s movie and or song. You got it? Have you thought of it? All right, on the count of three, I want you to shout it, movie or song from the 80s, at the top of your lungs. One, two, three. Let's hear it. Above all of that, did I hear Ratatouille? Back to the Future? Okay. All right. Am I a terrible person that I've never seen Back to the Future? Am I a really awful person? I'm really sorry. I'm sure there's lots of movies that I think are very important that you haven't seen. How many of you guys seen Ferris Bueller's Day Off? Ferris Bueller's Day Off? Shame on you. It's a terrible movie. It's a really bad movie. I always think, I'm like, yeah, Ferris Bueller's Day Off. And then it starts playing and there's like so much cussing. And I'm like, oh gosh, I was watching this with my little brother. This is not a kid's movie. Hey, we're talking about anxiety tonight. Tonight we're talking about anxiety. And we picked that song, Under Pressure. Just by show of hands, you guys knew that song? You recognized it before? Maybe you've heard it before? That was a really popular song. It was the first number one hit song that Queen had in the United States, and in London at the same time, in the UK. What was interesting about that song is they teamed up with David Bowie. So Queen, Freddie Mercury, they teamed up with what is probably one of the greatest collabs of all time. Just like two superpower musicians and singers and songwriters working together. And it was really neat because they were kind of like, who's gonna sing what? Who's gonna do this part? But I think what's really interesting is that when these guys teamed up, they chose to write about anxiety. They chose to write about pressure. Hey, by the way, I know we got a lot of people in the back. We got seats over here. We got seats over here. You guys just come on in. Come on in. And we got seats over there. We got plenty of them right over this way. I want you guys to feel comfortable. But I think it's just crazy that they chose to write and sing and perform a song about anxiety and pressure. These are just a couple of the lyrics that I pulled out. They said that it was a crushing pressure. They said that we're cracking underneath it. This is what's really, really interesting. They said it ripped families apart. And if you think about it, you can probably think of some instances in your life or in the lives of people around you where anxiety really did rip a family apart, where stress really did come between a family in a dangerous way that did some damage that maybe you're still dealing with. Anxiety is real. It's a serious issue. And I've got a definition up here for anxiety. I don't know if we got that on the screen just yet, but this is what it says about anxiety. Anxiety, and this is from the illustrious definition of, I Googled it, says this, a feeling of worry, nervousness, or unease, typically about an imminent event or something with an uncertain outcome. That's anxiety. So when you're like, what do you mean by anxiety? Like, I'm really stressed out because my chair isn't like perfectly on this line and it's like off center. No, you're OCD. You're kind of like me. I get that, but that's not the kind of anxiety that we're talking about, right? If you're like, this is just really stressing me out, that matters too. But this is the kind of anxiety that we're talking about tonight. This is the kind of stress. So I want this to kind of be the vernacular that we're talking about. When I say stress or when I say anxiety, I want you to know what we're talking about. But this imminent event or something that is has an uncertain outcome. We picked this topic. We chose to talk about anxiety and stress as a part of this decade series because there's a ton of data. There's mountains and mountains of data that tells us that middle schoolers and high schoolers are more stressed now than ever. Can I get an amen if you know that's true? Just amen if you know that. People are stressed. People are stressed all around us. Just wherever you go, wherever you look, people are just battling with this, pulling their hair out outside the classroom right before they're going to take a test. It's like, this is just driving me nuts. And I hear all the time, Zach, I'm so stressed. Zach, I'm so stressed. I can't even. Life is just, it's too much. And I don't believe that's the way that God intended us to live. I don't believe that's the weight that he intended us for us to carry. And I keep referencing data, and I'm not making this up, but the American Psychological Association says this. This is what it says about millennials, which is my generation. We got any millennials in the room? You are probably like 25 and up, maybe up to 32 years old. Millennials, this is bad. It says that if you ask millennials, 56% of us will say that we are operating with a healthy state of mind, with good mental health, right? So that's how we're self-identifying. Barely more than half of us say we have good mental health. That's terrible. This is what it says about you guys. This is what it says about Gen Z. So if you're a middle schooler or high schooler, or you're in college right now, really if you're younger than me, you're probably Gen Z. Just 45% of Gen Zers identified themselves as having good mental health and not struggling with too much anxiety. That's terrible. That's awful. That means if I go up to 100 people, 55 of them are going to say, listen, I am stressed out of my mind. 55 out of 100 Gen Zers are going to be like, I'm stressed. I can't handle this. I'm in a bad place, right? Listen, we're going to talk about anxiety, and this is a tough topic to handle in church because this is what we're going to look at what God's word has to say. But God's word, I don't believe that God would have us completely ignore doctors and physicians. So I'm not trying to say, hey, listen, don't take any medication. All you need is Jesus. You just need to pray more. Listen, I think we can use our wisdom and the experience of doctors who've gone to school to figure this out. So I'm not going to like, it's not one of those messages where I just say, hey, you haven't prayed enough. That's your problem, right? But this is a difficult topic. So I want to start with prayer. Here's what I want to do. I want to start with prayer. So if you're walking in, you're already seated, would you just do me a favor and bow your heads, close your eyes, and we're going to ask the Lord to bless this message and bless his word. Dear Father, Lord, this is a tough topic. I pray that you would open our hearts, open our ears to be receptive to what your word says, not to what I say, Lord, but what you have to say. God, I pray that you would soften our hearts. Lord, you ask that you'd remove pride from the room, that wouldn't get in the way of us being obedient to your word. In your name we pray, amen. All right, it makes sense, though, that people are stressed. I get it. Like, just by round of applause, how many of you say, I'm stressed, and I'm not ashamed of it. I'm stressed out. I'm stressed out? Round of applause. Come on. I know there's more of you guys. You're just like, I am too stressed to clap. I don't even want to. That would stress me out. What if people judge my clapping, right? There's enough I got to deal with already. Am I right, Micah? I'm right. It makes sense that you're stressed. There's actually data that says you are more stressed, at least you identify yourselves as more stressed, than middle and high schoolers who grew up during the Great Depression. That's terrible. That's awful. But like I said, it makes sense. You are busier than ever. You are stuffing your lives with more activities and more information and more all kinds of stuff. This is what it says. You guys have got stuff like cheer, dance. You got a team. You're on the chess club, the volleyball team, the football team, competitive dance. I didn't know competitive dance was a thing. There's competitive cheer, which is different. Am I right? Different? Somebody help me out. Correct me. Just nod really, really hard. Yes. Okay, good. I'm not spouting heresy up here, at least not yet. You've got all these different extracurricular activities. On top of that, you're making decisions that are going to be life-changing decisions earlier in life, right? So how many, we got any sophomores in the room? Sophomores in the room, make some noise, clap your hands, wave them, or do whatever. There you are. I'm here, okay? We know you're here. Good. You guys are supposed to know what you're going to do for the rest of your lives. You are supposed to have decided, like, you're behind. What are you doing? If you haven't decided what you want to do with the rest of your life, you're going to be a doctor, you're going to be a lawyer, are you going to be a pastor, are you going to be a school teacher, are you going to be a plumber? You're supposed to know this by now. Now, I'm not really saying that, but that's kind of the way that culture has built itself up around us, right? There's this expectation. How many of you guys are looking forward to the ACTs? ACT testing, right? It's so much fun. Said no one ever. ACTs, SATs, they're of the devil. They're not. But I mean, I never liked them, so I wouldn't imagine that you do either. There's so much pressure, and I've talked to people who are like, I'm taking it for my sixth time. I'm taking the ACT for the sixth time, and I'm hoping to get a better score. I didn't get a better score the first three times, and I'm worried that I'm going to let my parents down. I don't want to let my parents down. And listen, I've heard these kind of conversations with people that just are just so stressed out. I'm like, I don't know what to tell you. You need Jesus. Let's just stop and pray right now. I've had people in my office who are like, listen, I'm trying to get better grades, but I'm not getting better grades. So I stay up later, but when I stay up later, I can't sleep enough. And then when I can't sleep enough, the next day I'm grumpy. And then my girlfriend gets annoyed with me because I'm grumpy. And when my girlfriend gets annoyed with me, then I'm worried she's going to break up with me. And I'm stressed because I don't want her to break up with me, because if she breaks up with me, then I'm going to be alone. What's that about? You guys should not have to deal with that stress. Am I right? Hallelujah. Can somebody make some noise? That's not the way that God designed you to have to live. I'm not making this up. These are conversations that I've had. But here's what is kind of, it's worrying to me. Compounded on top of all of this is this really unreasonable comparison trap that we've found ourselves in. I think for hundreds of years, thousands of years, people have compared themselves to one another, and they're like, well, that kingdom is more prestigious than mine. I don't know what they argued about. I don't know what they compared then. His horse is bigger than mine. I don't know what that's about. But people compared themselves before your generation. What's worse about the situation that your generation is in is that you guys have got this device in your phone that some of you can't put down even as I'm talking right now. You've got it in your hands and you literally can't. I'm not like shaming you because I can't either, okay? But you've got this thing. I have to reply to the Snapchat. Okay, I'm putting it away. I'm going to focus. I got to reply to it again. You know what I'm talking about? He just talked about horses. Now I want to know, I'm Googling, how big were horses back in the 1800s? You know, you're just, I don't have all the answers for an addiction to a phone. Here's what I will say. If you can't go a day without it, you need to go a day without it. You're like, I could stop any time. Okay, then prove it. How about this Friday? No phone Friday. How many of you think that's a good idea? I'm not surprised. I wasn't expecting like a roarous applause. But some of us are addicted to our phones, and that just fuels it, because then you're looking at what Susie's doing and what Johnny's doing, and oh my goodness, their dress is way cuter than mine. I can't even. Mom, we have to go to the store. I need a dress like Susie's. I picked on the guys so much last week with the bad boyfriend sermon. I got to pick on the girls a little bit more this week. All the guys were just ready to jump me as soon as we got out of church last week. Listen, here's what really bothers me, though, and I catch myself doing this. Maybe you've done this before, too. It's gotten to the place where we're actually bragging about how busy we are. We're actually bragging about how stressed we are. And it gets into this like competition a little bit. You're like, well, I'm taking 6 AP classes. I'm taking 19 AP classes. What have you got to complain? That's not a thing. What have you got to complain about? Yeah, well, I'm doing cheer and dance. Well, I get better grades than you. Well, I don't get as good as grades as you, but I've also got, my family's going through a lot right now. And it's like a competitiveness to see who can like ruin their lives the most. Who can just like drive themselves to like the brink of frustration where they just collapse. It's not the way that God intended us to live. And my biggest fear is that we're actually complaining about something that the Bible calls sin. And you don't even realize what I'm talking about. You're like, what are you talking about? Stress, busyness, that's not a sin. It's not a sin to be busy. It's not a sin to be a part of a football team and chess club and do all these different things. Social media is not a sin, but stress, anxiety is. And you're like, whoa, Zach, this is not what I came here for. And maybe you're here tonight and you just came, you're not even a believer, you're not even a Christian, but somebody told you to come because, hey, they're talking about stress. I could deal with a lesson about stress. Let's see what they have to say. And you're like, you walk in the door and all of a sudden I'm like, hey, you should stop stressing because you're a sinner. That's not what I'm going for. But one of the passages that we're going to look at tonight, in fact, several passages that we could look at, show you where Jesus actually said, hey, do not be anxious. Do not stress out. It wasn't like a suggestion. It was a command. Hey, lean not on your own understanding. Hey, don't stress. Hey, don't put this weight on your shoulders that I never intended you to carry. God is explicit that stress is not part of the design. It's not what how he wants us to live. You can be busy and stressed, but you can also be really, really busy and not stressed. They're not the same. And if you want to throw things at me, that's all right. You can do that. But here's what I want to do. I just want to look at what the Bible has to say tonight. And last thing before we actually go to that verse, I want to apologize. I sort of apologize. This stress, the way that you handle it, is not 100% your fault. It's not. You learned it from your parents. And that's hard for me to say in this position that I'm in, but do you know the only generation that comes even close to being as stressed out as you? It's your parents, Gen X. They are as stressed, if not more stressed than you. So you're just dealing with stressful situations or potentially stressful situations the way that you see your parents do it, right? Maybe your parents just kind of shut down when they're overloaded and that's how you react, right? Maybe you just kind of like lose it. You get a temper as soon as things start getting too much and you can't handle all of it and you're just stressing. That's just the way that you saw your parents react, right? So there's some responsibility on them, but there's some responsibility on you to be the generation that breaks the pattern. Turn with me, go to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, go. Hey, maybe you just started coming recently, or maybe you haven't been around that long. When we first started doing that, I don't think we explain it every week, but people cheer whenever we go to that verse. It's because we're excited about the Bible. It's because we're excited about cheering for God's word, right? If we can cheer for a football team, if we can, think about what that is. If we can cheer for children wearing tights, knocking each other on the ground, then we can cheer for the life-changing eternal word of God. So I'm going to try that one more time, and we can get hype for Matthew chapter 6. That's how it's done. That is how it's done. And you're like, oh, now it makes sense. It's about the Bible. Okay, gotcha. You're there. Hey, we're going to look at Matthew chapter 6. This is the teachings of Jesus. And I just want to read through this whole block. We're going to go to verses 25 through 34. And then we'll go back and forth and read what I've outlined as three reasons that we stress. Read with me. Verse 25, therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life. He doesn't say like, hey, it would really help me out if you weren't anxious. He says, no, do not be anxious about your life. That's the creator of the universe. That's God, who knows you inside and out. And he's telling you, don't be anxious about what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put in it. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? And he gives us some examples. For example, look at the birds in the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more valuable than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these, like one of these flowers. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? My Bible actually says you. I just remembered that verse, ye of little faith. That's how I memorized it growing up. O you of little faith, therefore do not be anxious. He said it again, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things will be added to you. Therefore, here for the third time now, do not be anxious for tomorrow, about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. All right, how many of you guys like to take notes? You like to take notes by show of hands, by waving your notebook or your phone or whatever you like to do it? Fantastic. If you don't like to take notes, start learning to take notes. And let me tell you this, I've said that before, and I have been really guilty. There have been times when I got up on a Wednesday and I said, hey, you need to take notes. You remember things better when you take notes. And then that following Sunday, I was sitting in church with my arms crossed. I'm sorry, that's hypocritical. And I just started taking notes a few weeks ago, and it has really helped me pay attention. I've retained a lot more information from the series that Pastor David's doing on Sunday. So take notes on your phone, wherever you got to do it. But these are three reasons that we stress. So we're going to go back to the verses and pull these out. Reason number one, I think this is one we're going to spend a lot of time on. Reason number one, we stress when we don't trust God. And you're like, no, that's not it. That's not why I'm stressed. I'm stressed because somebody won't help me take care of the chores like they're supposed to, and then I get in trouble for it. Maybe you're like, no. My problem isn't that I don't trust God. It's just that these teachers, they expect way too much, right? Or my boyfriend, he just won't treat me fairly. Listen, I believe one of the reasons that we stress is that we don't trust God. I used to think about this. I used to do this as a kid. How many of you guys love peanut butter and jelly sandwiches? Make some noise if you love you some PB&J. Hallelujah. I just love them. We got crunchy people in the room. We got crunchy people in the room. Crunchy peanut butter. There is no other peanut butter. That is, if you're a creamy peanut butter person, that's mush. That is mush, all right? That's what you give to the dog, okay? Don't eat creamy peanut butter. It's not real. You want to fight? We can fight afterwards. Strawberry preserves. Smuckers is the best brand, so you need to have crunchy peanut butter and Smuckers. Strawberry preserves. Jam's okay. I just prefer preserves. My dad makes the best peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. He really does. He is a maestro of peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. So I grew up, whenever I was real hungry, I would be like, Dad, I'm hungry. I'm starving. I can't even. And I would just flip out because I was 6, 7 years old. And that's what 6 or 7 year olds do, right? I would never be like, and maybe this was you at a 6 or 7 years old. I would never be like, hello, dearest mother, adoring father, whom I want to be just like when I grow up. Would you please fetch me, a, would you pl- fetch, would you please make me something to sustain myself? I was not polite at all. I was like, Mom, Dad, I'm hungry. And I would just lose my mind, and I'd run in there just like, I'm hungry. And I don't know if you've seen this or you've been on the receiving end of this. My dad would always go, stop. Calm down. Relax. Shh. Now explain to me calmly, what is it you would like? You guys ever been there? You've been on that, the receiving end of that, where they just said, hey, slow down. I don't even understand. My little brother just raised his hand. I know you did because I've seen it. You've been on the receiving end of that. Maybe that's just a crazy Jernigan thing, because your father knows what you need. I don't want you to miss this. Your father, your heavenly father, he already knows that you're hungry. He already knows. He created you. He designed your body, and he is not surprised. Oh, my gosh, it needs food again. Oh, gosh, I need to fix that on the next model. You know, he's not, he created you. He knows your heart. He knows your thoughts before you think them. And so really part of the issue here, when we stress out about a situation that's not going our way, the issue at the heart of it is that we don't trust God. Go back to the book of Exodus. Don't literally go back there, but like when you have time, go back and read through the story of Exodus. In chapter 14, something incredible happens, right? They're running away from the Egyptians, and God splits the Red Sea, and then they walk right through it. My friend Clint actually wrote a song about that. It was really cool. He split the sea. I'm going to mess it up so I could walk right through it. And then you should listen to it. It's a great song. It's fantastic. Clint, where'd you go? Where can they find it? Oh, he went to a little boy's room. He went to the little boy's room. Westside Worship, Highway to Zion. There's your music ministry plug. Incredible thing happens in Exodus chapter 14. Split the sea, they walk right through it, and then they're delivered, they're running away from the bad guys, and then they get on the other side of it, and God destroys the most powerful army in the history of the world up until that point, the Egyptians who were following them. He crushes them, and so now they're delivered. They literally walk through the ocean on dry ground, and they get to the other side of it. In chapter 15, Moses writes, that's a recording of a really pretty song that Moses writes. But as soon as they get on dry ground in chapter 16, they flip out, and they're like, God, we're hungry. We're going to starve. And it's pathetic, because they even go so far as to say, God, it would have been better if you just killed us back in Egypt. And that's just flat out insulting to the God who just delivered them. Like, God's got to be up there thinking, I literally just split the ocean so that you could walk right through it. I just destroyed the most powerful army that the world has ever seen. I'm the one who got you here. You think I'm surprised that you're hungry? I know that you're hungry. I've got a plan already. The issue there with the Israelites and the issue there with me when I was a little kid, and I think the issue with a lot of us, is we don't trust God. We don't trust that he has our best in mind. This is an instance back in Exodus where we're insulting God because we're not trusting in him. We're not believing in him that he's powerful enough or that he's good enough and that he's going to take care of us. So here's my encouragement to you. If you're going through a season where you're having a hard time trusting God, you're like, I'm not trusting God, I'm just stressed. No, you're stressed because you're not trusting God. Just go with me up until this point. Do me a favor. Do yourself a favor and be obedient to the Lord. And pray on your way home tonight or as soon as you get home, pray this phrase, God, I trust you. And you're like, I already trust him. I don't need to pray. Well, then it shouldn't be a problem. Pray it again. Say, God, I trust you. Maybe wherever you're seated, can we all just do that together? On the count of three, we're going to say, God, I trust you. 1, 2, 3, God, I trust you. And here's the thing. A lot of times, sometimes we pray something because we believe it. Other times we pray something until we believe it. And you're like, I'm having a hard time. I don't really trust. Well, keep saying it. We'll keep praying it. Ask God, well, help me trust you. I want to trust you. I'm having a hard time in my heart. Keep praying it until you believe it and claim that, because that's the promise that God has for you. Look at the second reason. The second reason that we stress. We stress because we don't know God. We stress when we don't know God. I don't want you to miss this, so take notes. But look over there at verse 32 with me real quick. This is what it says. Why? Don't stress about this. Don't ask, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. That goes back to the last point. But he says right there, that's what people who don't know God act like. That's what the, your translation, if you have the NIV, might say, that's what the pagans do. That's how people who worship made up gods behave. Because they worship a little thing of wood or a little statue, a little figurine that they know darn well can't deliver them, can't provide for their needs. So don't stress about what you're going to eat. Don't stress about if you're going to get into that school, juniors and seniors. Don't stress about, oh my gosh, I'm not going to get all this homework done. Do your very best, but leave the rest up to God. Be obedient with what he's given you, but then trust him. He says, that's how people that don't even know God behave. If you know the creator God of the universe, and you know for a fact that he knows you, and then he knows your very heart and your very soul, then you're not worried about how the situation is going to turn out, because you know that he's good, that he's loving, and that he's just. And he's going to take care of you because he's your heavenly father. He knows you. Here's, I feel weird whenever we come to moments like this. Maybe you're here tonight and you're not a follower of Jesus. Maybe you're here tonight and you think you're a follower of Jesus, but you've never truly began a relationship with him. I don't want to, like, I always feel bad because I don't want to, like, talk about you when you're in the room. But if you're 100% stressed out of your mind and you don't know the loving God who died on the cross for you, the Bible actually calls Jesus the Prince of Peace because he's the only one who can bring us peace. He's the only one who can settle the anxiety in our hearts. He's the only one who can take the stress away. If you don't know him, I'm not surprised that you're stressed out of your mind. I do not know how I would survive in this world without a relationship with Jesus. I have no clue. I would be utterly, completely lost. The first reason that some of us end up in stressful situations is this: we don't trust God. The second reason is we don't know God. But Jesus is called the Prince of Peace. You need to know him. If you're thinking, I don't know that I do, I'm not sure I do, maybe I think I do, but I'm not 100% sure, can I please ask you, would you talk to your team leader tonight when we go to our teams? Would you talk to your team leader and just say, hey, I'm not sure that I really have a relationship with God. Could you help me through that? I want to know him. I want to have that peace. The third reason that we stress, that we have anxiety, we stress when we don't love God. And that's actually in verse 24. Let me explain this. Go all the way back to verse 24. We only read 25 through 34, and that's because for most of us, if you look in your Bible, you've got a little paragraph header right there. You've got a little line break right there. Let me tell you, whoever did that, they did you wrong. They did all of us wrong because they made that look like a different thought. And people, that wasn't the Holy Spirit, that wasn't God, that wasn't the apostles who said, this is verse 24 and this is verse 25, and we're going to put a big paragraph header there. That was just people that said, hey, this makes sense. And they weren't sinning, but they just tried to make it organized. Well, here's a quick little Bible study tip. Look at verse 25. When it says, therefore I tell you, whenever you come across the word therefore, you've got to go back, and some of you guys grew up in church, you know this saying, you got to go back and ask, what's it there for? What's the therefore, therefore? What's it referring to? What's it pointing back to? Well, it's pointing back to the verse right before it where Jesus says, no one can trust two masters. Sorry, no one can serve two masters. For either he will hate one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. So he's talking about finances there, but he really smoothly segues into, therefore, do not be anxious about your life, about money, about all of these different things, about possessions, what you're going to wear, what you're going to eat, where you're going to live. Those are all things that money can buy. So it's all one big thought. I don't want you to miss this. Some of you are stressing about a relationship because you love that relationship more than you love God. Some of you guys are stressing. You're about to lose your mind. You're about to sell everything that you have to go to a certain college, and you're about to do that because you love that college, or you love the prestige that goes along with it, or you love the praise that comes from your parents and your loved ones when they say, congratulations, you got into so-and-so university. You love that more than you love God. You cannot serve two masters. You can't serve God in money. You can't serve a relationship in money. You can't serve any of these things and the Lord. Whatever is stressing you out, whatever is bothering you, and maybe you're like, right now, really, life's going good. I don't have anything to stress about. Trust me, you will. That's what these notes are for. Come back to this. Come back to this promise from God that we don't have to be anxious. He doesn't call us. He doesn't command us to do anything that's impossible. You're like, Zach, if you knew my life, if you knew what I was going through right now, my heart would break for you. And if you want to talk to me about that, if you want to talk to your team leader about what you're going through, we're not going to just tell you, well, the problem is you're sinning. Stop sinning. Start trusting God. That's not it. It's not that simple. I'm not trying to belittle it. And if you're going through some heartache or some pain, I don't want you to walk out the door saying, well, Zach just said stop, and it's sin. So I guess I'm going to try, and maybe I'll pray. Thanks a lot, Zach. This is something we've got to break this down and ask, God, what's going on in my heart? Because what Jesus is showing us in this passage is that our stress has a lot more to do with what's in our heart than it does our circumstances. Janae and I have been going through a lot of transition in the last few weeks, few months. Took on the new job here as a youth pastor at Westside, bought our first home, and we've been busier than I've ever been in my entire life. And I'll be honest, there have been times when I've been saying to some friends, they're like, hey, how are you doing? I'm like, busy. Not even like an enthusiastic busy, just like, I'm busy. I'm just trying to hang on. It's a lot going on, and God's good, and he's doing incredible things. We're so thankful. But I always learn something when I'm studying for these messages, every single time. I always learn something. God has to teach me something before I can teach it to any of you guys. God usually ends up convicting me of something before he convicts you of anything else. So if you're like, man, Zach, that message got me. Well, trust me, it got me first. I was caught off guard by how much the Lord convicted me of stress and anxiety in my life when we came through this passage. There have been instances in my life where I wasn't trusting God. There have been instances just in the last weeks and months where I didn't act like I know God. I acted like somebody who doesn't even know God, who doesn't know that he is good and that he's caring, that he's loving, that he's got our best interests in mind. I acted like I don't love God. Like sometimes even like I love this youth ministry, like I love some of you guys more than I love God, and it stresses me out and there's this anxiety, but that's not the way that God called us to live. So Clint's actually going to come back up and lead us in some worship, and we're going to sing that song that talks about anxiety and trusting the Lord. And you don't got to come up here. We're just going to stand in our seats when he gets here. But here's what I want you to think about. Here's what I want you to be praying tonight. Here's what I want you to talk about in your teams. Ask God to show you the areas of stress in your life. Ask God to show you the areas of stress in your life where you have just been taking on anxiety, where you've been carrying a weight that he didn't intend for you to carry, where you've been stressing out about a relationship or a school or about grades, or you fill in the blank, whatever it is, that is not yours to carry. Lay that care, lay that anxiety at the feet of Jesus. But first you've got to say, okay, God, point it out. Tell me what it is. Show me the area of stress in my life. Show me where I'm not trusting you. Show me the areas where I love something more than I love you. If you're not a follower of Jesus, or maybe you're not sure that you are, you don't have a relationship with God, maybe the very first prayer that you need to pray is just, God, make yourself real to me. If this is true, if you're really the Prince of Peace, if you really do bring that calm assurance, then show it to me. I'm listening. But I want you to know that Prince of Peace. And then even while we're singing, we're going to stand in just a minute. Even while we're singing, confess that sin to God. And don't underplay it like I do sometimes. Don't be like, sorry, God, I just got real busy. You know how it is. Confess it for what it is. Confess, God, I've not trusted you. I have doubted you. Forgive me of that. God, I've not loved you the way that you loved me, and I'm sorry. Help me to love you more. Help me to trust you in the midst of these circumstances. So pray that, reflect on that, and sing this out like you believe it, and sing it to the Lord, who is the Prince of Peace.